This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, hanging out with you for the next hour here. And boy, do we have a show coming your way. We'll give you some updates on what's going on down at the Arnold Palmer, round two underway. Some big news and notes once again today in the NFL. A big extension for Danielle Hunter in Houston. Some news out of Vegas pertaining to Geno Smith. We'll take a look back at some of the notable happenings in the NBA last night. We get the return of Jason Tatum for the Boston Celtics. We have a whole slew, Jeff, of Jason Tatum props, a whole separate section at the DraftKings Sportsbook that we'll pick through. We'll give you some other NBA props for tonight. And then our friend Adam Zdrowicz from rotowire.com, our college hoops expert, going to stop by and give us some plays for tonight and tomorrow. We'll finish out the show, continuing our tour of Major League Baseball futures, honing in on the AL West. Let's start, Jeff, with the Arnold Palmer, where we have your leader, Daniel Berger, still holding on to a four-stroke lead. He's one under through four, of course, shot a nine under 63. That would be nice in round one yesterday. So four-stroke lead over Ludvig Åberg. He's at six under. Sahith Theegala has rallied to six under. He's four under through 10, excuse me. And we are waiting for Scottie Scheffler, who tees off at 1:30 Eastern. Reasonable first round for Scheffler yesterday, Jeff. Not completely putting himself behind the eight ball. Did shoot a two under 70. And as we look at the updated odds board, Scottie Scheffler plus 560, your second short shot right now, behind only Daniel Berger.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it wasn't a light, you know, he started off two under through four and then kind of just muddled the rest of the way through. Bay Hill's a tough course. Keep this in mind. Winner last year was at minus 11. You know, going into the tournament, the over under for the winning score was 11.5. Berger going crazy yesterday and going nine under was unexpected. He is a Florida guy. His best golf has always been in Florida, for what it's worth. He'll probably come back to the pack at some point here, but we did see big rounds from Colin Morikawa yesterday. He was six under. We saw you know Ricky Fowler playing good golf still. Ludvig Åberg played really good golf yesterday. Some big names still. Rory wasn't great. Xander was pretty good at minus four. So it's an elevated event or signature series event. Got to get the nomenclature right for the given year. But there's always going to be a lot of big names. But it's going to be a good leaderboard. And I look forward to seeing how much this course toughens up over the weekend as the wind picks up and the greens harden.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with these Scottie Scheffler quote unquote slow starts, which again, I would love for, right, you know, me to shoot a 70 and be like, man, what a disappointing round. But it's not only, you know, Scottie not going crazy low in round one, but it feels like every week now we have some, you know, random dude, whether it's Bridgman or in this case, Daniel Berger, jumping out to this huge lead. But still plenty of respect for Scheffler in the betting markets. Again, plus 560 to win the tournament. You mentioned Rory. He is down at 25-1 right now at the DK Sportsbook. Before we talk some Geno Smith, just a reminder, if you miss any of our shows, if you just want to rewatch them, rehear them, go check us out in podcast form. Download the Prop Points podcast. You can find all of our VSiN podcasts on Apple, on Spotify. And of course, you can rewatch all your favorite shows over on the VSiN Watch app. Jeff, we got news out of Las Vegas. The quarterback carousel continues to turn this offseason. The Raiders planning to release Geno Smith. That means they will be eating over $18 million. In dead cap. They, of course, traded, it gave up a third round pick to get Geno Smith from the Seattle Seahawks last offseason. And we did get word kind of on top of this move from Diana Russini this morning that if the Raiders continue to lean toward drafting Fernando Mendoza, which every indication is pointing in that direction, their preference is not to start him immediately. So Vegas now in the market to bring in a much cheaper veteran quarterback likely to begin the season.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of teams in that sort of market too. Indy, Atlanta might be that way, unless they go the Kyler Murray route. But yeah, Geno is just an expensive version of what they're looking for, though. That's the funny thing about that there. I would like to see Geno get one more chance at a really good team. But man, he really did spit the bit last year. Even when you look at the dysfunction in Vegas with the Raiders last year, some of this does still have to fall on Geno. I mean, there's a lot of ball watchers, ball knowers out there that love Geno Smith. I'm kind of on board with them, but at the same time, it was a tough watch last year. I'm curious though to see where Geno Smith lands, because you know he's going to get a starting job somewhere in the NFL.
Dare I say, Jeff, back to the New York Jets?
I don't wish that on him, but that seems like the type of jobs that are open though too. Miami Dolphins, you know, if they find a facilitate a way to get rid of Tua, you know, that might be the preference there. That might be not a bad landing spot for him, where at least you've got a Waddle as a decent receiver. You've got some other interesting parts on the team.
So the Raiders, Jeff, again, we're assuming they're going to take Fernando Mendoza with the number one overall pick. They have not drafted a quarterback higher than the fourth round. And this is a team that has had zero stability at quarterback for basically my entire life. They have not taken a quarterback higher than round four since Derek Carr in 2014. He, of course, was a second round pick. And Derek Carr is the only quarterback they've taken in round one, round two, or round three since Jamarcus Russell, who they took number one overall in 2007. So relatively uncharted territory here for a team that's been seeking a true actual franchise quarterback for as long as the Raiders have. You know, looking at some veteran quarterback options, Jeff, for the Raiders, there's not a ton out there in terms of true free agents. You know, maybe they would look to the trade market for like an Andy Dalton type, somebody you could pry away pretty cheap. But otherwise, we're looking at Marcus Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, Russell Wilson is out there. It's not an overly appealing list of names.
No, it's the usual suspects. And, you know, poor Tyrod Taylor. You know, I always feel like he gets thrown into this here where, you know, he was the quarterback there when they had Herbert in with the Chargers, and then, you know, gets the injection in the wrong spot and, you know, painkilling injection in the wrong spot and ruins his career there. I'd like to have like a rewind button, do his career differently, see what he could have done if he stepped into the right spot. That time is gone though, unfortunately. But yeah, this is the type of market we're shifting in here. I feel like the Raiders are learning the wrong lesson though. You know, the Jamarcus Russell pick was obviously a disaster, but you know, getting a quarterback on his rookie contract and having him be good is like such a huge bonus. I mean, it worked fine with Derek Carr. That was a fine pick, but you know, too often they decided that, oh, we can't go the draft route. We're not going to spend that first round pick. I don't wish Mendoza on him. I think Mendoza, I wanted him to be in a better spot there, but we'll see. I've got a little anti-Raiders bias here.
All right, sticking in the AFC, Jeff, we have some news out of Houston. Danielle Hunter landing a huge extension, 1 year, $40 million for Danielle Hunter. And this deal, which I believe now takes him through the 2027 season, that'll put him well over $215 million in career earnings, quietly one of the highest paid non-quarterbacks in NFL history, five-time Pro Bowler, second-team All-Pro a year ago. He's got 54 sacks over the last four seasons, up to 114.5 for his career. So he is sixth, Jeff, among active players in career sacks. The 54 over the last 4 years, second only to Myles Garrett, who has 67 in that span. And you know, not necessarily a surprise. You know, Houston has not been a stranger to getting out ahead of some of these contract decisions, even with a veteran like Danielle Hunter. They're making some concessions on offense in order to afford all these guys. But you know, the reports out there suggest that this could just be the first of a couple big extensions this offseason. Aziz Alshire, Will Anderson could be next up. We, of course, saw the Texans extend both Derek Stingley and Jalen Petrie in that secondary last offseason.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, hey, the Danielle Hunter signing worked out really well for them. Elite edge players, typically those signings have been working out well. You know who's really enjoying seeing that contract? It's Trey Hendrickson. You know, he's going to hit the open market. He's not Danielle Hunter. He's not that good. Older, not quite as dynamic of a player too, but still, that's a market-setting deal there. It's one of those things that, you know, he can point to there and try to get a better deal. So, yeah, absolutely. Good on Houston. This is how they like to invest in their team. I'd like to get someone that could block the likes of Danielle Hunter, though, too. That's the one thing they don't have right now.
Folks, are you still trusting your buddy's gut instinct as a betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better than that. RotoWire gives you the real tools the pros use. We're talking rankings, projections, breaking news updates, data that never sleeps, whether you're setting fantasy lineups, making picks, placing bets. RotoWire's award-winning insights give you a real edge. You can get started today at rotowire.com. Just use our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Put that in at RotoWire. You get 15% off any of our subscriptions.
All right, we had East versus West showdown last night in the NBA, Nick. Wemby was dominant against the Pistons, 38-16-5. They sweep the two-game series between the Spurs over the Pistons, winning 121-106.
Yeah, like you said, second time in a couple of weeks that we've seen the Spurs take care of business. This time it was at home. And look, we were talking about some props in this game on yesterday's show. And I'm thinking, man, Detroit, you know, they're not going to shoot it as poorly as they did in that first meeting. It was close. Technically, they didn't shoot it as badly, but they were at 40% from the field. They did shoot 43% from three, which looks good on paper, but only 28 attempts against that San Antonio defense. So just 12 makes on the night for the Detroit Pistons. Cade Cunningham, you know, a usual Cade line, 26 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. That's fine. But another relatively inefficient night for him, 10 of 26 from the field. And Victor Wembanyama, man, 38 points, 16 boards, 5 blocks, 3 assists. Another command performance for this Spurs team, which continues to be the hottest team in basketball over the last month or so. It's still not one of those losses to me where I'm like, we have to completely reevaluate the Detroit Pistons, but you know, to come up small in this spot, you know, to lose to the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell, you know, you could see why there is still a general mistrust of a team like Detroit that has not been through those playoff battles.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you know, that's part of the rite of passage and that we're looking at there, and you start to see that and you just have to wonder, okay, are they going to be ready for that? Especially those set, even I would say even the 1-4, if they get to that 1-5 in the second round, that's where it starts to get dangerous for a team like that, especially because, hey, the East is all kind of competitive all the way through there. All right. More hoops talk coming up next. We're going to take a look at the NBA slate. Nick's got some of his favorite plays, including all the Jason Tatum plays. This is Prop Points. I'm Jeff. He's Nick. We'll be right back.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here. You got to be talking about the NBA, heavy NBA action tonight here, including the Celtics versus the Mavs, where the Jason Tatum return is being treated like Michael Jordan coming back from his absence playing minor league baseball, or Magic Johnson returning, or Mario Lemieux returning, you know, from retirement. It's built up like that. We're seeing crazy sort of props here, Nick.
Mario Lemieux comp. There we go, Jeff, pulling out the cross sport. Yeah, we have over at the DraftKings Sportsbook, and I assume other books as well, a designated Jason Tatum tab. I will say I don't like any of these. I would not be betting any of these Jason Tatum rest of season specials. For instance, Tatum to score 40 plus in any game the rest of the way is plus 550. He did have 5 40 point games a year ago. I would like to remind you, Jeff, that he is less than 10 months removed from rupturing his Achilles tendon. There are only 20 games left on the schedule for the Boston Celtics. There's a handful of back-to-backs in there. It's probably going to be a while until he sees anything close to a full workload. And look, the rest of the regular season, it's entirely possible that Jason Tatum is not playing 35, 38 minutes like he was routinely last season and throughout his career. So I just wanted to highlight, do not bet these right now. 8+ made threes in any game the rest of the way is 6-1. What are we doing here? He's done this 3 times, Jeff, in his last 150 games before tearing his Achilles. He did have an 8-3 game. He had a 9-3 game last year. This should be 40-50-1. In my opinion. So just wanted to highlight that off the top and to give you some perspective as far as what we expect from Jason Tatum tonight going up against the Mavs. Boston is a 14.5 point home favorite. His points prop is 12.5 at the DK Sportsbook.
Yeah. I want to see a Cooper Flagg tab. I want to see a lot of these other tabs that we're looking at here, but it's interesting there. Just, some really outrageous props there. I think those are pretty funny. Okay. Let's get to some of the substantive picks for tonight here. As you like to call them, America's team, the Charlotte Hornets, are hosting Miami Heat. This is a big game. This is a big game for standings, big game for positioning. Both teams kind of playing well, good ball right now. We know the Hornets are playing really well, but the Heat have been playing better, although they have some key injuries.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if there's a team deserving of its own tab right now, it would be the Charlotte Hornets. I would love that. And we're seeing Charlotte get some pretty serious respect here at home, and rightfully so. They've won 16 of their last 19. As we talked about yesterday, they're the number one offense. They're a top five defense. They're number one in net rating. They're number one in rebounding since the calendar flipped to 2026. And this is a huge game as far as seeding implications, play-in implications, the Southeast Division implications, where the Hornets are now favored to win that division, I think at a pretty reasonable price at 2-1. But you have the number two versus number three net rating teams in the last 10 games. Both teams playing well on both ends right now. It is a huge mismatch in terms of pace. The Heat are number two in pace. The Hornets are number 28 over the last 10 games. So we'll be interesting to see where that settles in. Like you said, still no Norman Powell, on the Miami side of things. We don't expect Andrew Wiggins to be out there. So that's two starters down for the Miami Heat. I do think I would lean Charlotte here at home, but a little bit more of a prop spot for me. We'll have one coming for LaMelo Ball later in the show. But another one I like in this game, Jeff, Coby White, who should be out there tonight for Charlotte, over 1.5 threes. That's -115 at BetMGM. He's not playing the same minutes load that LaMelo and Knipple and Brandon Miller are every single night, but he's firing away off the bench. Again, Miami, a friendly opponent in terms of three-point shooting, in terms of overall shooting volume. I think we're getting a good number tonight on Coby White.
All right. Portland Trailblazers at the Houston Rockets. Portland's, they're kind of, we don't talk about them a lot. They're not a tanking team. They're not a competitive team. They're in the play-in right now at 30-33, probably going to stick there the way Memphis is kind of circling down the drain. But they kind of struggle against good teams like Houston.
Yeah. I mean, Portland is just glued to the play-in. That's been clear for 2 months now. They are just they're like the Chicago Bulls right now of the Western Conference. So Houston sitting as a 6.5-point favorite at home. Will be interesting to watch the Houston injury report. They had three starters questionable heading into last night's game, with it being a back-to-back. You know, maybe they do play it safe with someone like Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith, or Alperen Sengun. So that's something to monitor here. As you alluded to, Portland has mostly struggled against the good teams. So would lean Houston -6.5 here. But Houston has been among the worst ATS teams in the NBA as a home favorite. So not an overly strong lean for me. This is one where I'm looking at Jeremy Grant, who's been playing well of late for the Blazers. He is just kind of a points merchant, doesn't do a whole lot outside of occasionally get hot from the field. I like the under 24.5 points plus rebounds plus assists for him. You could get that at -110 over at FanDuel. And I think you have to look at Kevin Durant tonight. The over 31.5 points plus boards would be my lean. He has three huge games already this season against this Blazers team. 30-12 in a loss, 37-4 in another narrow loss, and then 30-5 in a blowout win early in the season. So three huge games already against this opponent for Kevin Durant. And then one more note on the Portland side of things, does not look as though Denny Avdia will be out there tonight.
All right. Another interesting game, cross-conference game. Knicks traveling to face the Nuggets. Nuggets just won at home last night against the Lakers. You know, another triple-double for Jokic. But what do you expect in this game with the Knicks facing the Nuggets?
Yeah, another premier spot for the New York Knicks, who feel like they're just running the gamut of big-time opponents over these last couple of weeks. Knicks are actually slight road favorites tonight, which is interesting. You know, one trend play to look out for would be the over 229.5 here. Denver is 10-3 to the over on the second night of back-to-backs. They're going over in those spots by 8 points per game. We are expecting to see the return of Aaron Gordon, so that should be a nice lift defensively, but you know, it's been a long layoff for him. We'll see how many minutes he actually plays. One prop that I like here, Jeff, is McCall Bridges over 1.5 threes, -122 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Hasn't been shooting it overly well of late, but the attempts have been there. Denver allows the third most three-point attempts in the NBA. Bridges leads the New York Knicks with over 5 catch-and-shoot three-point attempts per game. Again, has struggled a little bit of late, but I would play it in this matchup, especially with Josh Hart questionable on the Knicks side.
Indeed. So looking forward to watching this game here. Might have a little pick in there involved later in the show. Lakers, Pacers. Lakers last night lose at Denver. Have to play at Denver, turn around and come home. We are also on Luka Tech Watch. He is at 15 techs now, Nick. One more. He's got to have a one-game suspension.
Yeah, the kind of annual rite of passage for someone like Luka Doncic, who is always involved with the referees, recently has been involved with his head coach on the bench as well. Should be a bounce back spot, you would think, on paper for the LA Lakers. That number sitting at 9.5, second night of a back to back, of course, for LA. You got a Pacers team coming in that's failed to cover 7 in a row. They've lost all those games straight up. They failed to cover 10 of their last 12. They're 11-19 ATS on the road. And yet it's still really hard for me to trust this Lakers team. You know, we do expect Siakam, Nesmith, and Andrew Nembhard to be out there for Indiana. Could see LeBron sit tonight, Jeff. I don't know if you were watching that Lakers Nuggets game late last night. LeBron looked like he died on the court after appearing to like hit his elbow on a cameraman's shoe. Looked like a very serious injury for like 2 minutes, and then he ended up coming back into the game. But we actually don't have any LeBron props up right now, so I think this could be a spot given the matchup where they could opt to rest LeBron on a back to back. So with that in mind, I think this is an opportunity to look at Austin Reeves over 34.5 points, rebounds, assists. Would consider the over 5.5 assists for Austin Reeves as well. Indiana comes in allowing the most assists, the most points in the NBA, and they are bottom 5 in rebounds allowed per game.
Yeah, they're reliable. This is the exact type of opponent the Lakers usually should handle. But you're right about the LeBron issue there in terms of covering the side a little bit there. I'm low-key disappointed we didn't have a Obi Toppin prop tab at DraftKings Sportsbook when he returned. But that's okay. That's just a all politics are local situation. Pelicans at Suns. Contrast in styles in this one. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, so Pels come in as 5.5-point dogs on the road. 226.5 is our total here. Like you said, big contrast in styles. Pelicans playing at a top 5 pace. Suns are trying to win every game like 88-85 right now. They are 29th in pace. It's a back-to-back for both of these teams. Pels played at Sacramento last night, got a win and a cover. Phoenix ended up losing at home to Chicago, but did go under on that Bulls team total, under on the game total. Both of these teams pretty neutral when you look at the spread numbers, the total numbers in back-to-back situations. So I think you go to the prop market here. The low-hanging fruit, Jeff, has to be Grayson Allen over 3.5 threes. He has taken 16, 12, and 16 threes over his last 3 games, double-digit attempts in 8 of his last 10. This Pelicans team does allow a ton of threes, but weirdly enough, Jeff, opponents are shooting 29% from 3 against the Pels over the last 10 games. That is easily the lowest number in the NBA. I think that's just kind of a luck type of stat. I think that could come around tonight, so I don't mind Grayson Allen over 3.5 threes. We do have to keep in mind too, the Suns, a very poor rebounding team. They just lost Mark Williams for a few weeks. I didn't really love any of the Pelicans rebounding props individually tonight. You know, you could talk me into the over 24.5 points plus boards for Zion Williamson. But one sneaky prop I'm looking at on the Phoenix side, Oso Iguodaro, your new starting center, second year guy out of Marquette, over 9.5 points tonight. He's gone over in each of the last 2. He played 36 minutes last night. Pelicans number 1 in the NBA in points in the paint allowed.
Suns have dropped 2 games behind the Lakers for that last non-play-in spot. So this is a big game for them as well. College Hoops coming next with Adam Zagroyk. This is Prop Point.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative to aid delinquent taxpayers. This initiative was established for anyone facing financial hardship and unable to pay their back taxes. Qualifying and enrolling in this program will stop all collections, settle your delinquent tax problem, and even reduce what you owe by thousands of dollars. Call the hotline at People's Tax Relief to see if you qualify and get this free information by dialing 800-548-6839. If you have unfiled tax returns or cannot afford to pay your personal or business back taxes, you can now get the help you need. One simple phone call can resolve your tax problem and save you thousands of dollars. To see if you qualify and to get this important free information, call 800-548-6839. 800-548-6839. 800-548-6839.
Celebrate in style with the Legacy Club Sunset Package at Circa Resort and Casino. cozy up by a fire pit, enjoy handcrafted cocktails, and raise a champagne toast as the sun sets over the Las Vegas Valley. With breathtaking panoramic views and an unforgettable atmosphere, it's the perfect setting for any occasion. Legacy Club Rooftop Cocktails. Reserve your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, it's Jonathan Von Tobel for Pod to the Futures, where we focus on season-long odds and futures across all sports, including undervalued long shots like this one.
Wisconsin is 100-1 to win the NCAA tournament, and these dudes have some pretty damn impressive pelts on the wall. They go and they beat Michigan on the road. The stretch that they're on right now to go out to Illinois, beat them in overtime, come back home in what many would deem as a brutal letdown spot, and they absolutely smoke Michigan State. Like, this team has been absolutely incredible at 100-1, and given their offensive profile, again, I get it. Look, 40% of the point distribution for this team is from beyond the arc. So we just talked about the tough nature of playing in different sight lines and all these sort of things, and reliance on threes and neutral site tournaments might be a little tough, but Greg Gard seems to have something here, dude. This team is absolutely tremendous, and they don't turn the ball over, so they're not going to give up extra possessions. At 100-1 to look at that team, I think that's worth adding to a portfolio.
Hear the rest of the conversation on Pod of the Futures, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the VSiN Watch app.
Elevate your sports betting game with VSiN's exclusive betting splits. Stay ahead with real-time market trends and track bet percentages on any matchup, then uncover the edge by comparing them to the amount of bets placed to find out where the sharp money is headed. Upgrade to VSiN Pro to access betting splits, live odds, line moves, power ratings, and in-depth game analysis. Go to vsin.com/pro to join VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns.
Positivity, Matt. We're going to be positive here.
Positivity does you no good. And I'll give you an example of that. When you give up on a game, that's what works. That's when you get to come back and you get to win. I've done this for years. You got to be negative. But once somebody makes a positive comment about the team you bet on during the game, forget it. It's over. You're finished.
VSiN Primetime, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, VSiN fans, it's your old pal, Brett Musburger. I know what you're thinking. You're driving in your car listening to VSiN, and you have no way to write down all those picks you're hearing. I have the solution. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you'll get access to every pick from every show. Bill 80 will even send you an email with all of them every morning. Go to VSiN.com to become a Pro subscriber and join us on the Sports Betting Network. That's VSiN.com. You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're betting college hoops, now is the time to get your edge. Right now, you can get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $29.99 with our Hoops Mania special. VSiN Pro gives you daily best bets, real-time betting splits from both DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and full access to every VSiN show on demand. You'll also get our March Mania betting guide packed with team breakdowns, betting trends, future strategies, and picks from VSiN's top analysts. If you're planning to bet college hoops, VSiN Pro gives you a real edge. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. Heading out to the Progressive Guest Line to talk some college hoops with our friend, our college basketball editor at RotoWire, the great Adam Zdrowicz. Adam, we got a few good games on the slate tonight, a loaded Saturday, and then finishing out the regular season in a lot of these power conferences on Sunday. But let's start with tonight's slate. St. John's on the road at Seton Hall. You're looking at the total here.
Yeah, I was initially going to go Seton Hall here because St. John's kind of looking ahead. They might be looking ahead for UConn in the Big East final there. But I don't know if Seton Hall is good enough. I don't know if their offense is good enough. Last time these teams played, 65-60. I think it's going to be another kind of a dogfight. Both offenses struggle a little bit. And just below 140, I'm seeing under 137.5. I think it's going to be another low-scoring game. Both offenses struggle. I think Seton Hall is going to – they scored 60 points in the first meeting. They're probably going to struggle to score 60 points again in this one.
Got a big game, Adam, in the MAC. I'm kind of getting tired of the Miami of Ohio dialogue about their schedule. It is what it is, but still, they got a road game at Ohio U. big game, actually, because it's a pretty tight line on this one here. And obviously Miami's trying to build the keep on the streak to get into the tournament itself. What do you think you like in this particular game, though?
I was initially going to say Ohio because Miami's playing in all these closer games, but 5.5 is low enough that I'm just going to say, okay, Miami, Ohio, let's get them another win. Let's get them to 31-0. Let's get them undefeated going into the conference tournament. And I think the spread is low enough. Ohio is just not a very good team. They're pretty mediocre, about even record in conference play as well. So that kind of says it all. So Miami, 31-0, another win and cover. We'll give them a double-digit win. How about that?
Adam Zdrowicz, our college basketball expert at RotoWire, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Adam, let's head out to the Mountain West. We got UNLV at San Diego State tonight, a 10 p.m. Eastern tip. So looking forward to watching that one in the late window. What do you like here?
I only bet home teams in MWC in the Mountain West, and I'm only betting San Diego State in this spot. The spread is pretty big. 10.5 right now for San Diego State. They're kind of in a desperate spot. They've been sitting on the bubble, one of these teams sitting on the bubble, and coming lost 4 of their last 5 games, which, you know, when you're on the bubble, you don't want to lose 4 of your last 5 games going into your conference tournament. And I think we're going to ride a rebound a little bit for the Aztecs. So rebound for the Aztecs, UNLV 4-5 on the road in conference play. They already beat UNLV, San Diego State did, and throw in the desperation a little bit in terms of needing another win, and we'll give them a sizable double-digit win here.
Adam, how strong is the Mountain West this year? And in previous years, they've been a multi-bid conference. I think one year they got 4 teams in. How strong are they this year?
I think since the 4-bid year, it's been kind of downhill because they basically lose almost every game in the NCAA tournament. And it feels like every year that the committee kind of, you know, downgrades the conference a little bit just because, okay, the metrics say one thing because they beat up on each other. They kind of game the metrics in the non-conference play, and that helps a lot. But I think it almost seems like this year is that MWC is worse than it has been in recent years as well. So you throw that in, and it could be another year where the MWC doesn't get any wins in the NCAA tournament. I know Utah State's going to be maybe one of their higher seeds, but it's going to be a bad year, I think, for the NWC. And it doesn't help that San Diego State is kind of falling apart to close the season.
Let's head over to Saturday's slate, Adam. We got North Carolina and Duke, of course, second meeting of the season, exactly a month to the day from North Carolina winning the first matchup 71-68 on the near buzzer beater from the corner. I absolutely hate when we have what should be a buzzer beater, and then we got to clear everybody off the court. We got to put 0.2 back on the clock, but huge win, of course, for North Carolina. Might get Caleb Wilson back on Saturday. Nonetheless, this, Adam, a 16.5 point favorite at Cameron.
Massive line here, and I thought it was gonna be lower than that. So when I saw the 16.5, I was kind of tentative, but I'm still taking Duke here. 16.5 is massive, but I don't think Caleb Wilson's healthy. I mean, I've seen the quotes, and he's not practicing fully. Michigan State had a player who had a bad wrist, and it took him a while to get back going. And we're gonna throw Caleb Wilson into this game at Duke in this spot, and he's going to be 100%. I don't think so. In the first meeting, I know North Carolina came back, but Duke was up 12 at halftime. Again, we throw in, okay, this is also a revenge spot, and Duke has been blowing everyone out, and you throw in a 50% or whatever percent Caleb Wilson if he plays. I'm going big with Duke here. I think they could get a 20-point win if they really open this up. It seems like a massive line for this rivalry, but Duke is playing so well, and without a healthy Caleb Wilson, I'm going with Duke.
Big Big Ten finale weekend. Wisconsin at Purdue was on Saturday. Purdue broke their Schneid, beat Northwestern earlier in the week there, but they struggled to get that win. They lost 2 in a row before that. Wisconsin's coming off of 2 big wins. They're a 6.5 point favorite going into West Lafayette. What do you think about this game?
This is a pretty tough one. I don't know what Nick thinks about this one. As a Wisconsin guy, but 6.5 seems kind of small. And if we look at it maybe a month or two ago, you'd be like, okay, yeah, Purdue at home, 6.5, take it. But Purdue just hasn't looked like an elite team the last few games. Something's going on with this team. Braden Smith hasn't been there. Their bigs haven't been as good as they have been. Fletcher Lawyer is struggling to consistently make shots. They almost lost against Northwestern in their last game. And I think when you look at Wisconsin, they already lost to Purdue at home, which is, you know, kind of bad for taking Wisconsin this spot. But this is a big spot. It seems like there have been times where Wisconsin plays up to whoever they're playing. Iowa, Michigan State, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin will play up in big spots. And I think that's what they're going to get here. Nick Boyd, Blackwell, Carrington's been on fire. I think they're going to play up in the spot. And because Purdue's struggling kind of all everywhere on the court, I'll take Wisconsin plus 6.5. I think they keep it close.
The Badgers play up. They also are known to play down in certain spots. Thinking about that Oregon game last week, Adam. And we'll see if Nolan Winter is out there. Looks like he's avoided what appeared to be a very serious injury the other night, considered questionable for Wisconsin. All right, real quick, Adam, we got about 30 seconds left. Your thoughts on your Michigan State Spartans finishing things out on Sunday against Michigan?
Yeah, finishing things out, that's what we'll call it. LJ Kason, torn ACL for Michigan. They beat Iowa last night, Thursday night. Michigan's a better team. I'm not going to deny that. Big spot here. We'll see what the spread is. I think the spread could be close to double digits, near 10. But if it's that high, I think Michigan State's going to keep it close at a minimum. So we'll say I'm taking Michigan State here to cover is what I'll say.
There we go. Michigan, of course, already with the Big Ten regular season locked up. Adam Zdrowicz, everybody, find all of his great work for us, all of his bracketology over at rotowire.com. You can catch him on Twitter at RotoZdrowicz. All right, Jeff, before we finish out the show with our best bets of the night, we got a loaded edition of Money Moves coming up next year on VSiN. Stormy and JVT in the chairs. Mike Palm is going to check in from Circa. Will Hill is going to share some of his plays for tonight. And Zach Cohen delivering his best bets both in the NBA and for Indian Wells. Follow the money. Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, that's coming up at 4 Eastern. VSiN Primetime taking you home at 7. Jeff, take us into the weekend. What do you like tonight?
I'm tailing you. I'm going Mikal Bridges. I'm taking the over -1.5 or over 1.5 3-pointers. Shopping around, found the best price at FanDuel at -122. So going that route there, going to see if Bridges kind of light it up from beyond the arc against the Nuggets.
There we go. Tailing Nick Whalen. Look, if we could get the over on -1.5 threes, I would absolutely take that. If you could find that at any book, please invest. Love that call on Bridges. I mentioned when we were talking NBA earlier, I had a couple plays in this Charlotte game. We like the over 1.5 threes for Kobe White. Sniffing around the over 31.5 points, rebounds, assists for LaMelo Ball as well. You're starting to see LaMelo play a little bit of a different style. He's still mixing in some street ball. He's still mixing in some 35-foot, one-legged threes every single night. But we're seeing a controlled version of LaMelo Ball. Charlotte, a big home favorite against Miami. That Heat team playing at a top-5 pace in the NBA. I think this is a good LaMelo Ball spot to rack up some counting stats. So we will tack on the over 31.5 PRA for LaMelo Ball to go with that Bridges over 1.5 threes for Jeff Erickson. Keep it right here on VSiN. Our time is up, but Money Moves coming your way next. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel taking it from here. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Jackson Hewitt handles your taxes and your stress. Inhale on no surprise price of $149 or less. Exhale, paying more for complicated taxes. You won't. Inhale new tax law knowledge. Exhale, missing out on your biggest refund? Certainly not. Don't miss paying $149 or less. Rest easy. Jackson Hewitt's got your taxes. Guaranteed. Limited time offer for new clients on federal terms. Participating locations only. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com/149.
A KFC tale in the pursuit of flavor. The greatest insult the Colonel ever suffered was being served a wrap that was just a snack by a friend. So he took two crispy tenders, lettuce, tomatoes, and pepper mayo, and wrapped them in a soft tortilla. It wasn't a snack, it was a meal. He called it a twister and never called that friend again. The Colonel lived, so we could chicken. The Twister, now back at KFC, classic or with bacon. Also try it spicy. It's finger-licking good.
Prices and participation may vary.
When the games are on, so is VSiN. With in-game betting insights you can actually use. We're live during the action for real-time breakdowns and the best opportunities to hit live bets on all major sports. Our exclusive betting splits update every 5 minutes, so you'll always know where the sharp money's going. And with the VSiN Watch app, you're never out of range with live analysis following you wherever you go. Ride the action in real time by making VSiN your second screen and join us on the Sports Betting Network.
Hi, this is Zachary Cohen from the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. I was recently joined by Kelly Bidlin to share betting tips for games involving tanking teams. First quarter player props for good players against these tanking teams are going to probably be more profitable than full game player props because, like last night, for example, I had James Harden over 2.5 assists in the first quarter. I knew he wasn't going to play the fourth quarter. I would rather play like a juicy over on a quarter I know he's going to play than go the whole game and just have him sitting the fourth quarter and I'm sitting there angry.
Everybody wants to say, hey, these teams are tanking. This has got to be easy money. I just don't think there's a blanket answer for every single team on a nightly basis. I think you need to take them a little bit more individually. There's a lot of player prop ways to attack this too, like the one you just brought up, or look live unders. Harden goes off and starts having a good game, live unders on him the rest of the way because you know he's going to get yanked in the fourth quarter or sit down on the floor, especially on the front end of a back-to-back.
Hear more NBA betting insights every day on Hardwood Handicappers, wherever you get your podcasts and on the VSiN Watch app.
Experience the time of your life at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Live it up with the world's largest sports book, Circa Sports. Get loose and get loud with all sports, all seasons at Stadium Swim. Take in the million-dollar views at our rooftop lounge, Legacy Club. Go big and go all night with our luxurious rooms and suites. Book the time of your life today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Coming up on the next edition of Follow the Money, Paul Stone off his 5-0 in the college contest with his best bets of the weekend in college hoops, Greg Peterson with a double shot, all his breakdowns Friday and Saturday in buckets, and Bruce Marshall, Mr. West Coast and small conferences, all with his tournament picks and looking ahead to the weekend. Also the latest NFL news and a good NBA card. Follow the Money 4 to 7 Eastern on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. Check out the website for all the betting tools and analysis.
Handicapping the hardwood can be tough, but our NBA betting experts are here to help all season long. See public betting percentages and identify sharp money with our DraftKings and Circa Sports betting splits. Get daily best bets from senior editor Zachary Cohen and Steve Mackinnon's NBA analytics report. And see our all-new Opta AI player prop projections for the biggest edges on the board. I'm managing editor Adam Burke, and I'd love for you to join us as a VSiN pro at vsin.com/subscribe.
Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're betting college hoops, now is the time to get your edge. Right now, you can get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $29.99 with our Hoops Mania special. VSiN Pro gives you daily best bets, real-time betting splits from both DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and full access to every VSiN show on demand. You'll also get our March Mania betting guide, packed with team breakdowns, betting trends, future strategies, and picks from VSiN's top analysts. If you're planning to bet college hoops, VSiN Pro gives you a real edge. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. Heading out to the Progressive Guest Line to talk some college hoops with our friend, our college basketball editor at RotoWire, the great Adam Zdrowicz. Adam, we got a few good games on the slate tonight, a loaded Saturday, and then finishing out the regular season in a lot of these power conferences on Sunday. But let's start with tonight's slate. St. John's on the road at Seton Hall. You're looking at the total here.
Yeah, I was initially going to go Seton Hall here because St. John's kind of looking ahead. They might be looking ahead for UConn in the Big East final there. But I don't know if Seton Hall is good enough. I don't know if their offense is good enough. Last time these teams played, 65-60. I think it's going to be another kind of a dogfight. Both offenses struggle a little bit. And just below 140, I'm seeing under 137.5. I think it's going to be another low-scoring game. Both offenses struggle. I think Seton Hall is going to – they scored 60 points in the first meeting. They're probably going to struggle to score 60 points again in this one.
Got a big game, Adam, in the MAC. I'm kind of getting tired of the Miami of Ohio dialogue about their schedule. It is what it is, but still, they got a road game at Ohio U. Big game, actually, because it's a pretty tight line on this one here. And obviously, Miami's trying to build the keep on the streak to get into the tournament itself. What do you think you like in this particular game, though?
I was initially going to say Ohio because Miami's playing in all these closer games, but 5.5 is low enough that I'm just going to say, okay, Miami, Ohio, let's get them another win. Let's get them to 31-0. Let's get them undefeated going into the conference tournament. And I think the spread is low enough. Ohio is just not a very good team. They're pretty mediocre, about even record in conference play as well. So that kind of says it all. So Miami, 31-0, another win and cover. We'll say we'll give them a double digit win. How about that?
Adam Zdrowicz, our college basketball expert at RotoWire, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Adam, let's head out to the Mountain West. We got UNLV at San Diego State tonight, a 10 p.m. Eastern tip. So looking forward to watching that one in the late window. What do you like here?
I only bet home teams in MWC in the Mountain West, and I'm only betting San Diego State in this spot. The spread is pretty big. 10.5 right now for San Diego State. They're kind of in a desperate spot. They've been sitting on the bubble. One of these teams sitting on the bubble and coming, lost four of their last five games, which, you know, when you're on the bubble, you don't want to lose four of your last five games going into your conference tournament. And I think we're going to ride a rebound a little bit for the Aztecs. So rebound for the Aztecs, UNLV 4-5 on the road in conference play. They already beat UNLV, San Diego State did, and throw in the desperation a little bit in terms of needing another win, and we'll give them a sizable double-digit win here.
Adam, how strong is the Mountain West this year? And in previous years, they've been a multi-bid conference. I think one year they got four teams in. How strong are they this year?
I think since the four bid year, it's been kind of downhill because they basically lose almost every game in the NCAA tournament. And it feels like every year that the committee kind of, you know, downgrades the conference a little bit just because, okay, the metrics say one thing because they beat up on each other. They kind of game the metrics in the non-conference play, and that helps a lot. But I think it almost seems like this year is that MWC is worse than it has been in recent years as well. So you throw that in and it could be another year where the MWC doesn't get any wins in the NCAA tournament. I know Utah State's going to be maybe one of their higher seeds, but it's going to be a bad year, I think, for the MWC. And doesn't help that San Diego State is kind of falling apart to close the season.
Let's head over to Saturday's slates, Adam. We got North Carolina and Duke, of course, second meeting of the season, exactly a month to the day from North Carolina winning the first matchup 71-68 on the near buzzer beater from the corner. I absolutely hate when we have what should be a buzzer beater and then we got to clear everybody off the court. We got to put 0.2 back on the clock, but huge win, of course, for North Carolina. Might get Caleb Wilson back on Saturday. Nonetheless, this Adam, a 16.5 point favorite at Cameron.
Massive line here, and I thought it was gonna be lower than that. So when I saw the 16.5, I was kind of tentative, but I'm still taking Duke here. 16.5 is massive, but I don't think Caleb Wilson's healthy. I mean, I've seen the quotes and he's not practicing fully. Michigan State had a player who had a bad wrist, and it took him a while to get back going, and we're gonna throw Caleb Wilson into this game at Duke in this spot, and he's giving me 100%. I don't think so. In the first meeting, I know North Carolina came back, but Duke was up 12 at halftime. Again, we throw in, okay, this is also a revenge spot, and Duke has been blowing everyone out, and you throw in a 50% or whatever percent Caleb Wilson if he plays. I'm going big with Duke here. I think they could get a 20-point win if they really open this up. It seems like a massive line for this rivalry, but Duke is playing so well, and without a healthy Caleb Wilson, I'm going with the Duke.
Big Big Ten finale weekend. Wisconsin at Purdue was on Saturday. Purdue broke their Schneid, beat Northwestern. earlier in the week there, but they struggled to get that win. They lost two in a row before that. Wisconsin's coming off of two big wins. They're better, but they're a 6.5-point favorite going into West Lafayette. What do you think about this game?
This is a pretty tough one. I don't know what Nick thinks about this one as a Wisconsin guy, but 6.5 seems kind of small. And if we look at it maybe a month or two ago, you'd be like, okay, yeah, Purdue at home, 6.5, take it. But Purdue just hasn't looked like an elite team the last few games. Something's going on with this team. Braden Smith hasn't been there. Their bigs haven't been as good as they have been. Fletcher Lawyer is struggling to consistently make shots. They almost lost against Northwestern in their last game. And I think when you look at Wisconsin, they already lost to Purdue at home, which is, you know, kind of bad for taking Wisconsin this spot. But this is a big spot. It seems like there have been times where Wisconsin plays up to whoever they're playing. Iowa, Michigan State, Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin will play up in big spots. And I think that's what they're going to get here. Nick Boyd, Blackwell, Carrington's been on fire. I think they're going to play up in the spot. And because Purdue's struggling kind of all everywhere on the court, I'll take Wisconsin plus 6.5. I think they keep it close.
The Badgers play up. They also are known to play down in certain spots. Thinking about that Oregon game last week, Adam. And we'll see if Nolan Winter is out there. Looks like he's avoided what appeared to be a very serious injury the other night, considered questionable for Wisconsin. All right, real quick, Adam, we got about 30 seconds left. Your thoughts on your Michigan State Spartans finishing things out on Sunday against Michigan?
Yeah, finishing things out, that's what we'll call it. LJ Kason, torn ACL for Michigan. They beat Iowa last night, Thursday night. Michigan's a better team. I'm not going to deny that. Big spot here. We'll see what the spread is. I think the spread could be close to double digits, near 10. But if it's that high, I think Michigan State's going to keep it close at a minimum. So we'll say I'm taking Michigan State here to cover is what I'll say.
There we go. Michigan, of course, already with the Big Ten regular season locked up. Adam Zdrowicz, everybody, find all of his great work for us, all of his bracketology over at rotowire.com. You can catch him on Twitter at RotoZdrowicz. All right, Jeff, before we finish out the show with our best bets of the night, we got a loaded edition of Money Moves coming up next year on VSiN. Stormy and JVT in the chairs. Mike Palm is going to check in from Circa. Will Hill is going to share some of his plays for tonight. And Zach Cohen delivering his best bets both in the NBA and for Indian Wells. Follow the Money, Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard. That's coming up at 4 Eastern. VSiN Primetime taking you home at 7. Jeff, take us into the weekend. What do you like tonight?
I'm tailing you. I'm going Mikal Bridges. I'm taking the over minus 1.5 or over 1.5 3-pointers. Shopping around, found the best price at FanDuel at minus 122. So going that route there, going to see if Bridges kind of light it up from beyond the arc against the Nuggets.
There we go. Tailing Nick Whalen. Look, if we could get the over on minus 1.5 threes, I would absolutely take that. If you could find that at any book, please invest. Love that call on Bridges. You know, I mentioned when we were talking NBA earlier, I had a couple plays in this Charlotte game. We like the over 1.5 threes for Coby White. Sniffing around the over 31.5 points, rebounds, assists for LaMelo Ball as well. You're starting to see LaMelo play a little bit of a different style. He's still mixing in some street ball. He's still mixing in some 35-foot, one-legged threes every single night. But we're seeing a controlled version of LaMelo Ball. Charlotte, a big home favorite against Miami. That Heat team playing at a top-5 pace in the NBA. I think this is a good LaMelo Ball spot to rack up some counting stats. So we will tack on the over 31.5 PRA for LaMelo Ball to go with that Bridges over 1.5 threes for Jeff Erickson. Keep it right here on VSiN. Our time is up, but Money Moves coming your way next. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel taking it from here. We'll talk to you on Monday.